Thank you. So I'll repeat the question. UK income inequality is one of the highest in Europe. Presumably you mean the gap between the richest and the poorest, yeah? What are your party's policies for tackling inequality and poverty? And can I just urge the panel to give us some specific things? We've had an awful lot of motherhood and apple pie this evening. Excuse me for mentioning America. Ben.
Well, I think he's obviously income inequality is a massive problem. I think one way we can address this is by building more council houses. We need more affordable housing, because I think that's at the heart of, well, poverty. That is the heart of the problem of poverty, that poor people simply can't get a house, and some poor people can't even rent a house. So that's obviously a big problem. I think we need higher taxes. We don't need any massive changes, but we do need higher taxes in order to pull poor people out of poverty. So I think we need to be thoughtful about that. And if we want, as a society, to eliminate poverty, then we're going to need to be investing money in services that help the poorest in society. So, yeah, higher taxes, which I'm sorry, but I think it's really.
Thank you. That's a terrific question. That income inequality lies at the very heart of our social contract. Austerity, 10 years of austerity off the back of the coalition government, has seen the widest gap grow, the gap grow to its widest ever, as you state. There's been a transfer. The richest are now several times richer than they were before, and the poorest people are scrabbling to get by. We have an increase. Food banks were unheard of 10, 15 years ago. In West Berkshire alone, in 2018-19, 5,000 people have been fed by food banks. Back in 2010, when I was down on my uppers, I had two parcels from the food bank here in West Berkshire, down at the Baptist Church in Fatcham. It's absolutely humiliating. When you have to go, I don't know how many people have seen I, Daniel Blake. It is degrading. It taps away and empties your soul. It's humiliating, I can assure you. And we're doing it. It's a 62% increase on the previous year in West Berkshire alone. This isn't, this is not some left-wing think tank's figures. This is the Trussell Trust's figures themselves. Introducing universal credit was effectively a declaration of war on the poor. Waiting times of 5 to 12 weeks. If you're fortunate enough in this audience to be able to survive more than a month without a living wage, you are indeed fortunate. Many people in our community, as prosperous as West Berkshire is, struggle to get by and struggle to find £100 or £400 for a life-changing emergency. They bump their car and they need something for their children with urgency. They struggle. Poverty is real, even in that prosperous West Berkshire. So what's the Green Party going to do about it? We're going to change root and branch the tax and the income tax system. And we propose that we can introduce a universal basic income. And again, I'll state that this is not some hairy-fairy left-wing philosophy. Right-wing think tanks, Adam Smith himself, who many of the free marketeers will cite, talked about a citizen's income to mitigate the fluctuations in wages and demand. And indeed, in our community, I represent Speenhamland on the town council. During the poor laws, Speenhamland was a sort of place that mitigated some of the fluctuations in the price of bread for its poorest in the community by offsetting and donating to its poorest citizens. We can do this as a society. We're the fifth or sixth. I think it's slipping as we head towards a hard Brexit. But we can do this. We give massive tax breaks to the fossil fuel industry. We have loopholes in offshore tax, where the richest amongst us ferret away. So the universal basic income, will allow people that little bit of security. It will eliminate the threat of poverty and destitution. The reason people have to take 0 hours contracts is because there is no security. They take it because they're desperate, because they'll be sanctioned if they don't. The government figures on employment say that people that are in full-time employment or off the unemployment figures if they're doing 2 or 3 hours a week. It is unjust. I spoke to Natalie Bennett, who's one of our peers in the House of Lords, and she said the universal basic income would free people to become writers, artists, do voluntary work and add contributions to the society, but it would also allow them to have that security to go and get the job that is befitting of them, or maybe that they want to do as a vocation rather than as a hard-hitting career. So the only downside, and she said, it allowed people to write a little bit of poetry. She said, the only downside is we might have to make do with a little bit more shit poetry, Steve. You know, but I think I can live with shit poetry.
On that happy note, thank you.
Let's be absolutely clear about this. The 10 years of austerity that's been imposed by the Coalition and Conservative governments has been an absolute moral outrage in terms of cuts to public services. In terms of cuts to public services, in terms of bad employers not paying people enough and therefore causing wage stagnation. Mr. Berger laughs, but it is absolutely true. Wage stagnation and also people not being able to get on the housing ladder, which I see many other young people similar to my age not being able to get on the housing ladder. And I also see pockets of this community in terms of young people who get locked into that cycle of a poor educational attainment, a lack of opportunities, no youth services to help them out, and they get in that vicious cycle then of not being able to go on and get an employment opportunity or an apprenticeship because employers won't employ them, therefore they engage in antisocial behaviour, and therefore they are dislocated and disconnected from the community. And that's the spiral out of control, that's how it happens. So therefore, what is the solution? Labour is the only party that will provide this in terms of investing into our national health service, including mental health services, that will actually give people the opportunity to live a healthy life, and also youth services, including outreach programmes, using more creative techniques to go and reach out to these dislocated and disconnected young people, give people a proper living wage, okay, which will then increase money in people's pockets and therefore they're able to buy more things, which will increase local business, and also ultimately education. And that is the fundamentals, having a good education, giving people that opportunity to go on to university or a job and go and make their way in life. And therefore the environment to give that community and everyone within that community the opportunity to thrive. That is how we're going to do it. And we have to come together and say that austerity is damaging and has clipped the wings of this generation. And in order to stop homelessness, in order to stop social immobility and to deal with the inequalities, we need to step in and properly fund a national education service, properly fund a national health service, and give people a living wage. Thank you.
I'm going to avoid slipping into a sort of demonisation of anyone who's affluent, and I'm also going to avoid seeing the world in a really binary way, because the fact is, in this country, the top 1% pay 27% of all income tax, but the top 5% of earners pay 65% of all income tax. If you continue to hike up income taxes on those groups, they're a mobile group. They leave and we lose it all together. But let me just come on to one thing.
We listened to your question. Thank you.
I believe that the best route out of poverty is through work. And unemployment is at its lowest rate in my lifetime. In over 40 years, I think we're approaching 43 years, and real wages in West Berkshire are rising and reaching their highest ever levels. Now, I want to come on to food banks because I accept that they are a stain on our society, and I want to tell you what, I don't know if anyone in this room has read the Trussell Trust report that was produced in November, which breaks down, page 43, breaks down the use of food banks across the UK. And the percentage of people using food banks who are on universal credit is around 32%. Now, nearly everybody using a food bank is in receipt of some kind of benefit, whether that's disability living allowance or the personal PIP, or they're still on the legacy benefit of the ESA. But only 30% on universal credit. And I actually went to one of the food bank in the Thatcham Baptist Church, and the people who were running that said something very interesting to me, that accessing universal credit, and I will accept that that 5-week delay period caused real problems, but that has actually been addressed. After you've been approved for universal credit, you can get an advance payment. So instead of 12 payments over 12 months, it's 13 payments over 12 months, but all at a reduced level. And what he said to me is actually a lot of people don't know that. They don't really understand how to do that. Now, I accept that that's still a problem of communication and access, but I think that is really the kernel of the problem. And the other thing that I think is good about universal credit is that it's taken us out of that trap that people were in before where it didn't pay to work. Now it does, and it's always better to take even a few hours of work because you're topped up by the government system, rather than being in a system where either you worked and you might be less well off than when you were on benefits. But the one thing I will say, which I think is a failing, and I think has contributed to a sense of unfairness, is intergenerational unfairness, and actually the lives of the young. I do think house prices are really very, very high. And I do think that the prospects of young people to set up a family, get a home, whether it's in rented accommodation or even better in their own home, have been impacted. And I think that would be one of my priorities if I was elected for this constituency, in looking at the housing stock and the availability of affordable housing, because I think that's had, I think that whole issue of generational unfairness hasn't been properly grappled with yet.
Thank you for your question. I think you wanted some specific ways in which we could tackle it. So under a Lib Dem administration, we would introduce a living wage. So we'd be raising the money that people are taking home. But we'd also do practical things around how you pay for your rent. So we would look for longer term tenancies. We would look for caps on rent rises. We would look to invest a £2 billion fund in rural services, so that we can start opening up bus routes again, so that those who are in rural isolation can get back into the town centres. We'd invest £1 billion in opening up more children's centres again. So again, people can go and learn new skills in their communities. We would introduce free childcare from the age of 9 months. And that gives families the choice of whether they want to go back to work or not. And having that choice is really important, because then you're not being forced down a particular route. So tackling inequality is core to the Lib Dems' beliefs. I work in social housing, and I've worked in social housing for the last 10 years. And actually, we've got good policies about this, but actually I've done this on estates. So I've gone into sovereign estates across the south and the southwest, and we've established employment clubs. We've turned old buildings into community centres with IT hubs, so people can learn the skills. And actually, it's about empowering people and giving them the skills that they can help to raise themselves as well. But that if they can't, that we absolutely make sure that we have a safety net in place that helps support them. And go and look at the independent report, the resolution that says actually out of the main political parties, it's a Liberal Democrat manifesto and Liberal Democrat commitments that will create a more equal society than any of the other manifestos. Thank you.